It's a pleasure welcoming you here in the House of Democracy in the Portuguese Parliament. And I hope that you are all listening to the interpretation. So the Moroccan delegation, I don't think is quite ready. Let's just wait just a second. Okay, everything okay? So the team is, I'd like to welcome you all. Thank you very much for your presence here today. It seems there seems to be a technical problem. Is everything okay? Well, thank you very much, everybody. I would like to welcome you once again. It's in fact a great pleasure for me as the president of the Committee on Economic and Financial Affairs, Social Affairs and Education, for the Parliamentary Assembly and Union for the Mediterranean, to welcome you here in Portuguese Parliament. I recognize the difficulty, how difficult it can be to come to this meeting at this time of the year, but I think it's worthwhile to meet, and that is exactly why we put to you this challenge, given that there would not be a meeting before the plenary session, which will take place in February in Strasbourg, if we hadn't had this meeting. So, once again, welcome, and I'd like to suggest that, first of all, if you agree, we could, or rather, before we approve the agenda, hearing your suggestions, I would like to thank you. Two people who, although they don't belong to the Parliamentary Assembly, they have accepted our invitation, and we'd like to thank them for this. El Chandra Quintanilla, who is the President of the Commission of Education and Science of the Portuguese Parliament, and is very well known in the area of science in Portugal, and he will be with us at the beginning, and I would like to thank him for his presence here. And then I will give him the floor in order to say hello. And the second is our invited speaker, Mr. Paulo Novaes, who's going to talk to us today. He is a professor in the Minho University. He's the president of Artificial Agency in Portugal, and he is going to address a number of issues regarding the changes that occur by way of the introduction of technology in our societies and in the area of education, and not only, and the work this has, or the impact this has on education. And so I'd like to give the floor to my colleague Quintanilla, because if we start the meeting, there won't be time for you to be able to talk, because we'll be somewhere else. Thank you very much. President, I'd like to thank you for the invitation to be here with you. I've travelled a great deal. The first 25 years of my life, I spent these 25 years in Africa, in Mozambique, and then in South Africa. And then the following 25 years, I spent in California, in Berkeley, and the last 25 years in Portugal. I began by studying physics. I have a PhD in theoretical physics, and then I studied physiology and biochemistry, and then later issues related to stress and ecology. And so, to see a region like the Mediterranean being here together today to discuss what is just possible to build together, for me, is a huge pleasure. And so I would like to congratulate you and hope that this meeting will be productive vis-à-vis any collaboration that already exists but may be enhanced and future collaboration in the future. And so our collaboration is based on the wealth of skills of our citizens. It is associated with knowledge, the way knowledge can be used to create not only wealth, economic wealth, but also social and cultural wealth. And so the possibility of working together, to continue to work together, in order to strengthen these ties between Mediterranean countries is praiseworthy, and I would like to say that even though I can't spend the whole meeting here, I have to leave in a short time, I would like to thank you once again for the invitation and say that we all have great expectations in relation to future dialogues and future movements in terms of interdisciplinarity. Most of current problems our planet is faced with can only be solved by way of dialogue in different areas of knowledge. It's not easy. People in each area have their own specific jargon, so they don't all understand each other, and so the effort is fundamental. And I would like to thank you for the invitation to be here once again, and to hope that this meeting will be a huge success, and I'd like to thank the President for having invited me, and hope that the meeting is a success. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would also like to say that, I didn't mention this, I apologize, the consulate of the Embassy of Israel, I didn't see you, so I didn't say hello, sorry, and from the Embassy, for the consulate of the Turkish Embassy, I didn't. And I would also like to thank the interpreters who are doing their work upstairs. And so, if you agree, I think we could move on to the adoption of the agenda. I would like to ask whether we can adopt this agenda, which you've already seen. I'd like to know whether anybody has anything against it. As this is not the case, then I could say that we have approved the agenda and we will move on to our working agenda. And so I would like to begin with a number of announcements. The first announcement I have to make, which is the next plenary session has already been booked at the 14th of February in Strasbourg, and the works are going to take place on the 13th and 14th. And on the 13th in the afternoon, there will be the summit of the presidents of speakers of parliament. And on the 14th, there will be a meeting of the bureau in the morning at 9. And then there will be a plenary session in the afternoon on the 14th of February. Contrary to what is usual, there will not be in the morning session. There will be no meetings of the committees, because in accordance with the information that we already have from the European Parliament. And why? Well, because there seems to be a plenary of the European Parliament in Strasbourg at the same time, so therefore there will be no committee meetings in these 2 days. And this was one of the reasons that led me to set this meeting. I probably thought it was going to be in January, but I wanted to make sure that we had a meeting before the Parliamentary Assembly, and that is why this was done in a little bit of a rush. So I think it's important to have an open discussion during this meeting. And then at the end, today I've already received a proposal or two proposals for some draft recommendations. So I think that we can get some ideas from the meeting. And then at the end, we'll see whether it is possible to have a text that will be a sort of in-house text. We won't be able to have a final version of the text, and so maybe we could circulate it here, and then we could talk about this in the Bureau meeting on the 14th of February. I haven't mentioned yet, and it's also important that on my right-hand side, there will be the Vice President, our colleague from Tunisia, Amandine Monnet. I believe that she's already she's already arrived in Lisbon. She's getting to know the traffic. And another aspect, that is it's another announcement that I'd like to make. It's got to do, or to do with the fact, it's got to do with the activity plan for 2018-19. That is an activity plan that I have sent out to you. But this is where we mention the priority areas that have to do with the topic of today, the sustainable development of the Mediterranean area. And from this viewpoint, and based on the fourth ministerial conference of the UPM on the reinforcement of the role of women in society that took place in Cairo on the 27th of November 2017, and following the ministerial meeting on the effort for innovation and development that took place in Malta in May 2017. And so from this viewpoint, what we suggested that we could do was to develop activities that were leveraged on two major areas. One, the economy and job creation. And over the last 2 years, the job creation was a topic that has been addressed only indirectly, but that is why it's included in the agenda today, and education and innovation, which are topics that we have addressed time and time again. Well, in the activity plan, we would like to highlight some of the programs for the Union for the Mediterranean, that is PRIMA, Partnership for the Research and Innovation in the Mediterranean Area, and the program of the Higher Education Programme on Food Security and Rural Development, and the programme OMER, High Opportunity for Mediterranean Executive Recruitment, and the rest. It was my intention to discuss some of these projects by way of the participation of someone who unfortunately couldn't come. So what we foresee for 2018-2019, which we are complying with, is the thematic meetings in December or January. This is taking place in December, this meeting. We'll have a meeting during the plenary. This won't take place. And then there will be visits to initiatives or projects, but we have nothing penciled in for this yet. So, basically, this is the information that I had. I don't know whether anybody would like to say anything. I don't know whether in this phase the deputy of Morocco, Mr. Mustafa Haini, would like to take the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also thank the Portuguese state and the Parliament, Portuguese Parliament, and the welcome and reception. President, we have some remarks on the recommendations. We spoke about these recommendations. And another thing, in this program and this committee, there was a mistake because in Arab it's not written like this. So we have to be very careful translating these words in Arabic, because these are mistakes, very small mistakes, but we indeed we think they are important. But the plan of the committee of financial affairs, social affairs and education, we suggest that there is a balance of the funds that we speak about in this committee. Among them, it means that one of the financial and economic affairs and social affairs, another education. Not to say the economic is the more important or more strong, the strongest. We suggested in the other meeting in the some exchanges of information. There was a problem of health in the area, in the region, and the cancelling of this. We are also speaking of health service. I was speaking with my colleague and also the employability and the unemployment is a very big problem in all our societies. And so we should include one of these affairs in the agenda of 2019, employability and unemployment. Thank you. I should have mentioned, and I didn't do it, that there was an exchange of emails and suggestions of the our colleagues in Morocco, and these suggestions were at three levels. And I'll reiterate, the first one was a correction to the minute that was included, so that minute that we have approved has already this correction. There was a failure not only in the presences, but as you have understood, the failure was due that it was a plenary session, so in the committee, the registrations are clear, but then in interventions, there was some differences. The minute that we approved includes already the corrections that were mentioned. And then there was the suggestion, in fact, the indication that there was a bad translation from Arabic of some aspects that we welcomed. The fact that it was sent to us today, and so we didn't distribute it because we have received it only now, but it will naturally be circulated and be included. I should have mentioned that. Regarding the committee is in fact with many, that deals with many affairs, economic, financial, social affairs and education. If we can be accused of giving some relevance to education, because we tried in all the areas to speak about a lot about innovation, education, and the programs that we have brought here in the last meetings and submitted by EPM were in this sense. Regarding the employment, we had the situation of the employment for young people. But naturally, we welcome, and as I have already mentioned in the emails that we have changed, we welcome the suggestion of both the health issues. We have to understand better both the employability for the next meetings, because there are no plans at this moment for the agenda of the next meetings. But thank you for your explanation of a dialogue that was before the meeting and it was already welcomed. I'll welcome now our Vice President, who is always welcome to this house, and I say that she was probably in the traffic in Lisbon. Were you in the traffic in Lisbon?
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you. Shukran, Sayyidat Rais. I have this confusion of the language.
Thank you, President, and thank you, the members.
It was very crazy, so I'm sorry for the late again, and I'm happy to be there. I missed actually two meetings of the committee, so I'm really happy to be again with you, and I'm following a little bit the discussion. Maybe I will participate later in the discussion, so thank you.
Muito obrigado. Passamos, certo. Aqui, tudo pronto. Vamos então, temos aqui uma inscrição da Argélia, de Ossini Dameni.
Bismillah, salatu salam ala Rasulullah. Shukran, Sayyida al-Ra'isa, ala al-Idhafa wa husn al-Diyafa. Sayyida al-Hudur, bidawri urahib bi zumalai il...
President, I'm very pleased to welcome the new colleagues from Algeria in the meeting in Cairo. That the participants of the committee, we were there, the Algerian delegation, we were there in the discussion, but they said that the Algerian delegation Thank you for including everything. We also ask you to correct this point, please. Of course, Mr. President, from my on my side, what you're mentioning is that there is an incorrection in the members that participated of the Algerian delegation. You have not written that the Algerian delegation was there. It was not written that the Algerian delegation was there, was present. I think it's a bit strange because why these problems happened, we'll, of course, correct this and we'll replace it immediately. We wish to correct it, also to speak about education, the education at the basis of a society. In the committee, in the previous committee, we've spoken, and we want to learn from the experts in this sense, and we look at the social aspects, and we have recommendations, important recommendations. Thank you, Mr. President. I thank you for your intervention. If there is no more issues, now we go to a point about such as we propose an exchange of views and a debate on what are the implications of the technological evolution, but also at evolutions of organizational of the societies in the world at the level of education, of innovation, and also at the level of the future of work. And I'm going to ask Professor Paul Novais. Professor Paul Novais, I want to thank him because he came from Cambridge directly to here. To join us to present. I didn't say, but as you can see, there is coffee and tea and some cookies, so you can, in this table behind us, because we don't have a coffee break scheduled, so as you wish, you can use it. Feel free to go and serve yourself. Good morning. I thank the opportunity. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you, among you. I usually don't speak for so many important people, so I'm a bit nervous. And so I can fight against rest. I want to thank Professora Doutora Margarida Mann for the invitation. I'm very privileged to cooperate with you and the committee. Obviously, to be in the House of Democracy in Portugal is for me a great satisfaction. As I'm speaking with people, intelligent people, I'll use of the creativity and use images to express ideas, because I think that texts, you have already read a lot. I'm going to start by showing you four films that belong to our imaginary of science fiction and to express four ideas. The first is the first film where a robot appears for the first time, Metropolis. Some of you may have been this film in the video, music, in the rock band, which is the Prince. For the first time in the beginning of the 22nd century, there was a robot which was not intelligent but already interacted. I want to have a remark. This is one of the moments that you see the technology is not at the level that we wish. It should understand the needs and the preferences that Dr. Margarita Mann had and that the colleagues need. And automatically, if this was an intelligent or smart medium, it would also go beyond the head of the president. I think that you are listening to me. Everyone is listening to me. This is a very interesting image because based on the literature of Luisa Asimov, well, there is an interaction with an entity, virtual entity, and this is important. Naturally, it's more associated with issues of industrial robotics, to have an assistant for the minor tasks. In this movie, which probably I'm before you, with someone that we have for the first time a science fiction on the two intelligent beings. And this is important to reflect on that, because the first one, we are talking about a humanoid figure that interacts directly with us, and it was at that time a sign of intelligence. He's very reactive, and I remind you, because when he's asked to do something that he doesn't know what to do, he does this movement. This means that he's reactive, but he's intelligent. The second doesn't not communicate because of the language that we don't understand, but makes decisions, he understands what's happening, and it should happen to this system that should readjust the image. He's extraordinary. I remind you of a scene of the film R2-D2 that takes the initiative. When Luke Skywalker says, "Save me," there's only a message like this, and he understands all the set of activities that he had to do to save his master. A second movie, very interesting one, Blade Runner, not by the scenery that we associate to the future cities associated with this gray, but above all, for the first time in science fiction, there is a society of human people, a virtual society, the replicants, and above all, policemen. The notion that the relation between the man and the virtual entities has to be regulated. There must be conduct standards. We have to prepare that relation to know what are the limits of each one of them. Another example is Ex Machina. It is interesting because here It's a movie that illustrates the challenges of artificial intelligence, which is the notion of interacting with someone and not to understand if they were human or not, or a virtual entity. Once again, the scientific and anticipate the entities that interact, and we don't understand what's happening. It was the a dilemma. This situation, this dilemma was overcome. Recently, there was an experience where we put humans speaking with other entities that did not know if they were humans or not, and in fact, they didn't identify who was human or not. The last aspect, using once again science fiction, this not so much. This, I don't recommend this movie. It's nothing special, but it's a film that addresses much of what you have to, the obligation to interact and put limits. The plot, the script is a company that is a social network, a combination between Google and Facebook, something of that kind. And they all have knowledge, and they know us better than we know each other, because with some clicks we know your preferences. It's not extraordinary. Of course, in all your countries there are cards associated to companies. All of you have sell discount cards, and you receive every month discounts associated to your profile, consumer profilers, because the system knows you very well, knows your needs. In this case, what happens is that in this film, the social network anticipates and says, if I know you, I can take decisions better than you, and I can make the decisions that implicate our life in society. This is something that, in my humble opinion, is very dangerous, that we should have be careful, and these are some of the limits that we have to place. Here we have the social network, this new world, also almost replacing the democracy, and the individual decision makes the individual and the collective coincide. This is the model of the fourth industrial revolution, in what we don't interact. In all our countries, we have automized factories with robots, with natural relations with men in the robots. The network that we use is in the parliament with video cameras that are in the underground, in all the spaces that we visit, and there's interlinked. And there's a set of data that we can or not use in our benefit. Yes, our society is changing. In fact, it has already changed. If you see, the network is not the old network. We are directly connected. This scenario is a bit in the future. But if you think that you all have smartphones, that you are connected to the Internet, that are debit data to the Internet, I know probably how many steps Dr. Damian has given, or Dr. Margherita Manu. Practically all of this is deposited in some way on the in the Internet, and all of this can make that in the future we are not a secret anymore. We are, because all the Internet, all the network has the information that we are and what we have done, and this is our reality. Of course, in the future, this will be different. Smartphones will have chips inside us. I don't wish this. That's what I know. With this new scenario, there's an opportunity. An opportunity in why? Because for the first time in the human history, the quantity of information, the quantity of data that is available is impossible. We don't have the capacity and human resources to process this data. And then there should be a technology that uses those data and would be able to give it them value, added value. And why now? An analogy that we do to explain how the integration process of a technology is the invention of steel. This steel was to the 18th century before Christ, but the process, engineer process, the science, in the process, engineering process, the one that makes it replicable, appeared in the 19th century. This happened now. The cost of labor to process information is not possible to be paid. It makes sense that we have machines and processes to do that because it's unbearable. The work of a computer to process data would that a human had to would it would be impossible to do it today at an acceptable cost. So we have the cost and the ability to be scalable. So welcome to this world. There was John McCarthy was an inventor. Artificial intelligence, it's interesting because in Germany alcohol is associated to the creative intelligence, which is interesting, and I would like to discuss this a bit later. It's important to say that intelligence, artificial intelligence, is still a science because it studies the intelligence phenomenon, but it is already an engineer or today because it solves problems using those methods of intelligence methods in different intelligent levels. We are not all the same, and machines will not be different, will also be different regarding the functions that they have to make, carry out. Because we are in a moment that we have data of capacity and the capacity to process them, data that we can store in that cloud power because we have big computers, and there are revolutions, interesting revolutions, but will enable to make simulations using data that we have never thought about, and that will be extraordinary and be a useful tool that to solve problems that Dr. Margarida Toto Quintanilla have mentioned. Some examples. We spoke about some situations. We would like to have Mr. Data from Star Trek. He was the digital assistant that helped us in all situations. And he was always very behaved, and his DNA was so well designed. We are not there, but we are close. The colleague from the Tokyo University says that Hiroshi gave voice to a robot that makes that he never travels. He hates to travel. He's always in his office in Tokyo. He sends the robot, and from Tokyo, he sends him a text that it's the presentation that he's going to deliver. So the robot takes the words and transforms the words in the adequate sound and the movements of the arm, the suitable movements of the arms. So we are not so far, and it would be enough to associate the capacity of translation of Google Translator. There's some weeks ago I spoke about the Microsoft. In certain languages, it's already 98% of accuracy. I don't know if you have been using Google Translator. They have been improving, and it means that very soon we'll have assistance. In case of the Ishuru, it's easy because if you know the Japanese culture, they're not like us. They are not very expressive. the level of predictions, I think that we all have seen, has been improving, increasing. There was a classic example in 2017 where Google has achieved with their tools to predict exactly the evolution that they had. And this is extraordinary. It's a tool that can be very useful. The classification, in this moment, we have the capacity to identify objects very easily. I remind you that some months ago, in a social event, in a concert, music concert, where more than 50 people attended in China, the camera that were used to be for security, to identify just one person that was looking, was being looked for the police, and this can be a very good tool. The autonomous cars are here. It's not only because the United States do not allow them. The cars are already autonomous and safe, but there are some problems that you have to help us to respond to solve. That's the problem of the responsibility, because until now I controlled the car. I had to make the decision, so I would be made accountable. But the cars will make mistakes, because everything that is made by men has at some moments mistake makes some at some moment makes. Who is decide? Who will decide? Who saves the driver? The driver of the other car. How can we choose? These are decisions that in the health area have been classified for a long time. But we have to make the decision, and I don't think that anyone would like to go into a car and knew that there was an accident. The car would decide not to save him. The personal digital assistants, you already use smartphones. You have seen the evolution, and this will go on. More and more our smartphones can understand, our assistants will know what we are, who we are. You have been here, you came here, and automatically your system warned you, don't forget that you have to be at the airport at some time. These are data that we cannot control and are being used to our benefits. We have to be able to understand the implication that it can have in our lives. The chatbots, all the organizations have, these are automated systems that there are personal assistants, the Mr. Data, CTPOs, that make the dialogue with our communities. Institutions like this should, this is a way of bring people together to the institution in other contexts. Creativity, I have to speak about this. I think that you've seen this example. These are applications, very simple ones, where we can put our photography, our picture, and receive our picture made by one of the great painters of the humanity. And how can they do it? Because today we have systems in this kind, based on deep knowledge, that can learn. Until now there was a big difference. Our robots until now were programmed using a technique that was developed in Egypt, the old Egypt, which was to write rules. If this, then that. The first registration of representation of structured knowledge is in Egypt, in papyr. These are rules. Until now we told to the machines what to do. And when we said them what to do, we controlled because we knew exactly what would happen. These machines are not programmed in this way. We teach them to learn how the way we do. The better way of learning is to make experiences, and we find patterns, behavioral patterns. A good example is to make, to take a text, a written text based on the writer, and put another text written by your children on text message, and you will see which one will be the easiest to learn. It will be the simplified one, because we don't read everything. We detect patterns, and because we detect patterns, we can understand. And that's what machines do. That's why they are able to learn any game and to understand what is the strategy, a better strategy to win this game. You have to understand this. This is a significant change. It means that if we want, we can have a car that learns. It means that this car will learn to go away from holes, but the learning has a problem. We don't control it.
So we're living in a digital era, that's obvious, with all the realities, with new realities. I feel a little bit like this lady here, so lost in the middle of so much technology. And so there are new challenges here that obviously have emerged. But the reality sometimes, or rather what are we doing with this reality, is digitalizing old processes, LinkedIn, and a number of things. But this is a new reality we're faced with. We are creating a new world on the shoulders of an old gentleman. But this is what we have to understand and take advantage of it, because everything that was there before was bad. No, that's not true. It was good, but we have to take advantage of this new reality and make something different. The first thing we have to understand is that we are no longer the time where we electrify everything. We're not only connecting all the points in the world to the network. No, what we're doing is we're giving the ability of all these points in the network to decide. They are going to be able to process information and decide with or without limits. That is up to you to decide, but they are nevertheless going to decide. Now, a sensor, for example, that detects a fire will automatically call the firefighters. The decision is ours to allow it to do this. Now, all the points in our fridge, television, are going to be able to make decisions. Now, this is a huge change in humanity, and this is going to bring about a huge increase in abilities. We have to know what this means, though. We have to be able to understand this and take full advantage of this and limit the negative effects that this will have. Well, artificial intelligence over 50 years worked on reducing human error. There were techniques that we developed in order to find better solutions, computational aspects, mass, etc. And this is all over and done with. This we've already done. Now, what we are doing today is that we are making our systems more human. And this is what I've been trying to say right from the beginning. And so these machines interact literally with us. And this is a new reality. If we want to win in this new world, we must understand it. This is one of the problems that I note. Many people don't understand that today we have to understand the world in order to understand this new concept and to act. For centuries, we developed social sciences in order to understand the people around us, our culture, and the acts of people with whom I interact. And now we have to make other sciences, as sciences of thinking digitally, to deal with other human beings who are going to interact in our society. And that I am already interacting, and the problem is we're not doing this. We have to understand our people close to us, be they virtual or not, and we have to increase our quality of life as human beings, and that is why we're developing technology, or at least to try and correct the errors we made in the past, a new reality, and just we have to think digitally. I would like to give you a personal note. That my oldest son is 18 years old, and he went to the best university in Portugal, and the second one is Mergedinas University in Coimbra. He went to study IT, and so what did I understand? That he is not in the classes to learn, he's there to take notes of what has been given. The new world is your children are going to the internet to find videos, to find things on YouTube, and to text on that matter, and today they learn much quicker. And this is unbelievable. The youngsters today learn better by using YouTube, looking for classes from other teachers in other contexts and in another language than in the physical classroom. And so this means that we really have to think and really have to see what has changed. Second thing I'd like to say is that in Portugal, with the collaboration of a private foundation, the Carlos Gulbenkian Foundation, I participated in a project to create a program of grants for to study artificial intelligence. Now, the characteristic in this program was the following. We wanted to give opportunities to youngsters who had never seen or touched artificial intelligence. And so we're talking about students up to third year of university. Normally, in the university's curricula, artificial intelligence appears almost as in the master's degree in the fourth or fifth years. Now, what happened this year? Well, half of the students, now we're talking about the best students of Portugal, who want to do IT engineering, artificial intelligence, had already had classes on artificial intelligence, obviously, in the online courses that exist all over the world. So something has changed. This element can allow the teacher, be he real or virtual, the possibility to give specialised and personalised classes for each one of us. And that is what we have to understand. There is a whole number of tools out there, and you can see that they can give added value in countries like ours that doesn't always have the financial resources to have everything necessary. This is important. There, we can have robotic intelligent tutors, for example. There can be online courses. There can be learning analytics, for example. Can you imagine? Have a dashboard here, a panel that says the level of attention that you are having. But if I want to know, for example, who is not paying any attention, and I click on something and I can see there it's Dr. Margarita here. And so, hello, how are you? So this is not futurology. We developed this in my group. I can know, based on the way you're interacting on your smartphones, who is paying attention or not. Oh, so it's having a high level of stress. No, this is normal. Do you not want to know why? Some of you were no doubt teachers. How many of us halfway through? It's half an hour to 10 minutes to go. What does that mean? Now, we are injecting stimuli, stress, to increase and improve performance. Now, this is artificial intelligence that will make this automatic. So I'm going to skip this part. We all know that education is fundamental. And I think they've already mentioned this. Two things that I've been defending for a long time. And I think there are excellent initiatives in the world and a number of schools, but that have to be replicated. The first thing that I think that has to be changed is the way we present sciences and the fundamental basis of education. We cannot continue to give classes the way I'm doing here today, just by showing you a simple slide, for example. No, we have to use new technologies. We have to use new tools. It doesn't make sense to talk about maths today and then with all these tools that exist in maths that help the children or the youngsters to learn online, to know why 2 and 2 is 4. This has to be used immediately. We have to use videos, that is, new technologies in the language of the students. First of all, you have understood the ABC of the initiatives, and then we can use text tools that are going to understand us, to help understand the styles used. So when we use sets and vocabulary, well, with what intensity we're doing this. This is called sentiment analysis of the text, and this is important. And these can be new ways of attracting new concepts. But these are the basis of what we are as peoples and culture. And naturally, right from the beginning, just as we've had social sciences, and we still do, we have to have something in the area of digital thinking. There are excellent initiatives that are taking place in Portugal. Let me allow this to use this example as my reality. In colleges, where right from the very first year, the children are making small programs with Lego programming to program robots. It may be basic, it may be simple, but this is formatting our mind to know what exists before us. So what do the new entities think? And so digital thinking is to use these new concepts and to use new clothes on traditional concepts. And so employment is changing. And in fact, there is a new reality. Here, Professor Margarida Mano had an excellent initiative last year and this year to invite a number of Portuguese experts to discuss this, and that is new opportunities. First of all, what we're talking about is a different world, a world where in science there are no Einsteins. There are no Einsteins, not because there are fewer brilliant minds. It's because science nowadays is not done on one's own. We have to do this in collaboration. I come from Cambridge, where I had a group of colleagues thinking of one matter, because nobody thinks alone today. We have to think of projects and ideas together, because the problems that exist are of such a scale that probably none of us can address all these dimensions. And so today this is a new reality, because a company doesn't make a site. We have a major problem where there's a project with many different skills required to solve this. This is a new reality, and probably our children are not going to work in companies, they're going to work on projects. And so the tools that we are developing here are tools that will increase the performance. And we're doing this in collaboration. I think there has been a slight exaggeration in forecasts about the end of the world. No, when I say that, I mean the end of work. And so work wasn't always possible in history. I mean, there were many times over history that people didn't like to work. And so some of the more manual work is going to disappear, and I don't see this. I don't think this is bad at all. I wouldn't like to think the people before me, when they were working on in agriculture, etc., and they had such hard tasks to carry out. This is not going to change from one minute to another, but robotics is not going to change at all yet, because it still has to develop a little bit more. For example, Alto Europa, the plant here in Portugal, or any plant in China, Japan, in your countries, you understand that the world and reality has changed. New relations are going to be created that will have to be regulated. This is important. Even the scientists don't feel comfortable when there's no regulation. Excessive regulation is not good either, but here we have to create some kind of regulations in terms of how to move forward. I don't think it's bad for developments to go fast, and then integration is gradual. Now, this should be done, but I'm talking here as a citizen. The last thing, we can invent whatever technology we want, and we are making great advancements in the world. Climate forecast isn't what it was. It's much easier to predict a tsunami than it was 20 years ago, for example. Oil resources, to find out how much we've got left, is easy to calculate. And so today, based on the wind energy that is being produced in real time here in Portugal, it was very easy for EDP, which is our energy supplier, so and so on fossil fuels, I mean the production and that is based on fossil fuels, it's all easy to calculate what it is. But what isn't easy is to all agree on how to use technology in our benefit. Now, this is not something that our scientists should say, and neither is it up to a scientist to say. This is up to you, because the challenge that we are faced with in the decades to come is a very complicated challenge, because only not technology on its own is going to solve the problem. And our countries are, in particular, as running a risk, the risk of missing the train. Now, in life, there are two trains, first class and second class. Sorry, talking this way. And I like to travel in first class. And I think we have the right and the duty to fight to go in first class. Now, if we miss this train, the train of knowledge, we're never going to make up for it. And we'll be condemned to spend the rest of our lives in second class. And I hope that the Mediterranean countries will always be able to travel in first class. And so I hope you and me can travel together in first class. So I would like your help for this. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado.
Thank you very much. We now have a time for Q&A, but I would just like to suggest if you want to go and have a coffee, on you go and feel free. If you want to have something to eat or drink, feel free to do so. I'm now going to give the floor to the colleagues because no doubt there are a number of observations you would like to make on what was said. But in any case, I would like to take advantage of this moment to launch a challenge. Our focus in terms of activity plan is the sustainable development of the Mediterranean region. The sustainable region, sustainable development, just as already been mentioned, has not only to do with the economy, albeit the economy is a very important part in terms of value and importance, but it's got to do with social aspects, taxation. But the social aspects in particular are major concerns, and we received from Turkey two recommendations, which received them today, which I will show you later, in order to support refugees and migrants, access to health, the demographics, the human resources, and here I'm thinking of issues raised in our regions like the water, for example. And so what Professor Paul Moraes said, and he mentioned a number of things I noted down. The first one was the question of how are we to use a technology on our own behalf, and to use a technology, and we are parliamentarians, we are members of parliament, and how can we, and I think the aim of this meeting is to reflect. But the question here is, how can we use technology in our benefit and a sustainable development, which is fundamental for social integration and how to, for improvements in our society? And we talked about health, and we know that technology applied to health can make miracles in terms of the cure of a number of situations. Also education and a new paradigm where instead of mass education, which will continue to exist, we'll have personalized, tailor-made education where each one can learn on his own pace. And we can see how this can help forecast disasters, etc. And so we also know that technology creates a great number of difficulties in our societies, for example, pollution and the impact pollution has. On the environment and the ecosystem. And there's something I consider that is also very important, is that the fact that was mentioned, the fact that people don't think alone. Now, scientists, just as Paul Navarish, together with civil society and politicians and parliamentarians, I think that this is one of the reasons we are here today, is to talk a little bit about this matter. And so he also mentioned that we inject stress in order to improve performance. So I would like to ask you, how do we inject stress to improve the social performance? And so how can we create sustainable development or social performance in the Mediterranean region? And I know that many of the projects your companies are of a social nature. And so maybe you could tell us about one or two projects. So I think here there is also another very important question. And that's got to do with language. I think defending language, our languages, is absolutely vital. And we can think that the translators replace languages. I don't think that's not what that is. I mean, we have to make sure that we give value to our language, and that is why we will need translators. And so, I think maybe I could give the floor back to Professor Navarish in order to tell us about one or two of the projects. And naturally, whenever you like, you can ask your questions. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. Artificial intelligence and technology, I hope that are ready to solve problems in this work perspective. Naturally, it's not I will say that everything is good, but you know perfectly that how the same way we can do autonomous cars, we can make autonomous weapons. You all know this reality. I like due to a certain vision of what I do, I like to see the positive side of things. I would say that I would like to think is to take advantage of the technologies, to use it on our behalf, and generating wealth and better conditions of life conditions to our co-citizens and to all of us, because we also live in this community. And therefore, I have a very favorable and optimistic vision regarding the future, and naturally also regarding life in technology. This to say that, for instance, we have been involved, I am participating in a very interesting project that applies technology to assisted life environments, where we have colleagues in Italy, in Turkey, Spain, and Portugal. We have also colleagues from the north, where we're studying how technology can be used to break obstacles or barriers, architectonic barriers in buildings, language barriers, cultural barriers, to adapt and to, that I was to say that the translation of the language I like, because it simplifies, it gives me the capacity to speak to anyone, but the translation is much more than that. To know that I can look in the eyes, someone in the eyes, and how can I respect my co-citizen, and that he can respect me. This is the path that we do, and we have to be know each other better and cooperating. And this is the aspect that Dottora Margherita Manu has participated and see. We other projects in the health area, which are projects, very interesting projects. There is a profusion of small robots that are being developed all over the world, robots with different tasks, different roles, that from personal trainers that help people making their morning gymnastics. They are simple robots, but they can be very interesting. Robots that interact with people that have, who don't have anyone to interact, and there are many people that are in that stage. You can say that these are simple solutions, but in fact, these are solutions that nowadays solve problems, because we are going into a world, at least in our part of the world, that where probably we'll need to have something connected to the human being. We are building societies that we cannot alone in moments of our lives when we are sick. We need also always the help of someone, and we don't have resources to have a beautiful nurse. I am married to a nurse, and I hope to have that possibility at the end. But maybe she will need also a beautiful nurse, which will be me, who will be me. And this is the new reality that we have to bear in mind and to use this. I think that the technology can have a very interesting role and a proactive role. But sincerely, at this moment, I'm more worried, more concerned with another reality, which is the reality of where the changes, climate changes. I've recently been speaking with the Portuguese Portuguese teacher, Dr. Carla Gomes, that has been doing a very good, important work with models that simulate these changes, and we have to have a very active role to understand where we can go, what is the speed, how we can consume our resources, how can we replace them, and which changes we have to make in our lives in society to be able to continue to be able to live in the better ecosystem of the world, which is our planet. Otherwise, we'll risk to be Martians. and I like so much to go around, and I'm worried about this. Thank you. Thank you. I ask if someone wants to make a comment. I'm going to give the floor to Senator Benzi from Algeria. Good morning, everyone. Thank you to the Portuguese state and the parliament, the Portuguese parliament, for this opportunity. I'm Senator of Algeria. I have a question for Dr. Paulo. The difference between the third countries and the developed countries. It's the same methodology that we use and we see in the two worlds, in Europe and the United States, and the African countries. The problem of the technology of the third countries is going along with the infrastructure, but the same technology of the third world. But the third world doesn't have the infrastructure for that. So we are not at the same level. To use this technology, for instance, the technological and financial development is to compare. It's not the same in the third world. I suggest that we take the two technologies and also develop the technology in medical. It's not the same in the two worlds. But in the third world, we don't use this technology in the same way. We have to study these technological differences. This is a very important issue. We have to see in the future we should be the same as for technology. The life in France and Portugal is not the same as in the African or in the Persian Gulf countries. You've spoken about the quantity of the amount of data and information, but this is not used in the same way from one country to the other. We speak about artificial intelligence. It exists. Artificial intelligence exists, but we don't have the same hospitals and factories. I'm talking about African countries. Or a country as Japan. There's a big difference between the two countries. We should have specific plans, each technology according to the country. Thank you. I'll give the floor to the Senator of Algeria. Thank you, President, to give me the floor. Thank you. As my colleague said, I thank the invitation that was addressed to us and all the welcome, my colleague and I. It's the first time that we are taking part in this sort of meeting in the extent that we are replacing the colleagues that participated before and that are now finishing their mandate. And I hope that we will in the future be able to take part in these meetings. It's very interesting. I thought it was very interesting, the conference of the São Paulo on artificial intelligence and then the digital world. This is a very important issue, very interesting issue regarding the digital and the artificial intelligence. This changes our way of exercising the education in the economy, in the health as well. In the health world, he mentioned some of the aspects, and I would like to go, because I'm a teacher, a professor, and we are trying to see how we can use these tools, use them better, and how can we avoid the dangers of artificial intelligence. On the positive side, what is interesting is to see that in some fields, as for instance, in some diagnosis, such as imaging in the health, for health, the diagnoses are much more accurate today, nowadays, and they enable us to treat best other pathologies. And then there are other improvements that are emerging. For instance, in the imaging fields, we have predictions. We can say that in the future there are many people that on the other hand has the protection, data protection, the protection of people. If they do a DNA test, we find cousins that are around the table. We will understand who were our grandparents. This is magnificent on the one hand, but laboratories will predict through DNA tests. They can predict that I will develop at 40 years breast cancer and go for a loan to the bank, predicting this pathology, and this to be able to use this revolution, digital revolution, in a better way. And we have to meditate how to protect the human being. This is what I would like to share with you. Thank you. I give the floor to the Vice President. Dottora Sincili, we have the difference, as the doctor said, we have the difference between the north and the south. It's not only the north of the Mediterranean or not. We are speaking about the north within the Arab countries. We speak about Tunisia, north and south. There are differences within the country and how to use the technologies. It shows the difference that in the south is not as developed as the north. We are talking about education, the universities, and to use technology, the hospitals, the banks. We have a deep problem in Tunisia. In the north, we are advanced, and we work with that. We have some problems, but we are working to solve the problems. And we adapt the technology within the administration, the universities and schools. But in the south, we have problems. We have problems of infrastructure that the students in the universities and schools have problems. They don't have any computers. This is important that the policies of the countries and within our assembly of the Mediterranean Assembly that our countries should fight to fill this gap between the North and the South. Within the country themselves, individually, because we spoke about the problem, the unemployment, the problems of unemployment, of education, the problems of the labor market, and also the problems in hospitals and health institutions in third world, and also in banks, because it's easier to in the north of the Mediterranean than in the south. I speak about Tunisia. We still have this problem. That the Assembly of the Mediterranean that fosters the countries to adopt these technologies. And the administration, monitor the administration, if we have to fill, want to fill this gap between the north and the south, we should adopt a faster technology in our countries, in our region, to solve this gap, to shrink this gap. And we have to adopt recommendations of the committee and the parliamentary assembly to adopt these measures more faster. We've seen the presentation of the Paolo. It's very important to see how the world is evolving. But when we look at the reality, especially in the South, we have problems that the students have problems even to go into schools because of the distance, because of the lack of infrastructures. The infrastructure is not suitable. And also, we are very far away of the technology within the schools. We are very far from that reality. We are only thinking that they need to go to school, and then after going, they go to school. We have to find work for these students. We have a big problems and a big gap. The cooperation is important to be able to fill this gap. Thank you. Thank you. And I give the floor to Centimera, parliamentary.
I've been listening what you have.
From Italy.
Is, in my opinion, robots, they don't kill the man. You know, if we think about technology and the future, we tend to think about writers like Orwell, so a totalitarian future, or actually a trivial future. But I prefer Isaac Asimov, so where robots, they don't kill men, and technology creates jobs, because only humans can kill humans. So it depends how we use technology. AI is not a danger. Maybe there's just a matter of ethics. For example, is it correct to do humanoids or better to keep robots with another shape? But moving forward, I've been listening to Iman Ben Mohammed Daoud about the differences among the territories of the same countries. And, okay, on a certain extent, we have the same in Italy, like not only between north and south, but mostly between center and peripheral areas. And what I can say is that technology can create new cheap infrastructures. For example, a university in a poor area of the Alps has been created about 10, 15 years ago, and new jobs have been created, because in Italy we tended to assist the poor areas, giving them money, trying to think that they are like the urban areas, creating factories to create, I don't know, heavy metals and so on for the automotive sector, and forgetting about the true souls of that areas. Plus, about devices, Mr. I don't remember your name, Paolo, was showing a smartphone, and smartphones now are really cheap. So we have cheap devices and possible cheap infrastructures. And I give you one more example. I give you one more example on your territories. There's a big venture capital called Apis Partner. It collects mainly European capital, also Italian capital. The managing partner is an Italian guy. They're based now in London. They will move to Dubai. And they invest in Africa and Asia and on China, especially on the fintech sector. Fintech sector also for the poor people, the poor population. And about education, this new infrastructure can help a lot. And it's a technology that does not pollute. This is another point. It has been shown, there is evidence, that green jobs, green economy, create a lot of jobs. And I'm sure that we can give value to the huge diversity of Africa, of the Arab countries, and all the Mediterranean area, cutting distances through technologies. Plus, and I'm saying that through my perspective of a chartered accountant, a man of finance, investing 1,000 euros in a peripheral area, for example, in Tunisia, it's much more worth than investing 1,000 euros in my city, Milan, where you spend 1,000 euros basically in an hour. So I think we have to be optimistic, and I think we have to collect knowledge. For example, through platform of knowledges, thanks to the technology that is given to us. Going back to the Alps, for example, there is a macro-regional structure created by the European Union, which is called the Alpine Macro-Region. It's nothing very heavily structured, but northern Italy, Austria, south of Germany, south of France, all the territories related to the Alps are talking together. They're difficult territories concerning infrastructure because they have high mountains, but they created, for example, a database of all the research centers situated in the Alpine areas, so that a small company can have access to patents and licenses and softwares and so on, not for free but for very cheap, so you don't need to invest a million or 2 million euros to do your own research, and you can share the knowledge. So I think we have to start from the culture more than from the financial assistance, and that will come. And I will close my little speech with one thought. The crisis in Italy, in my opinion, is due because we forgot to be Italians. In terms that, for example, my grandpa, my dad, they used to be small entrepreneurs, and we've been famous in the world because we are small entrepreneurs. I mean, Gucci, Valentino, Armani, for example. This is just fashion, but I can give you many more. Sorry? Ferrari. Ferrari, yeah, of course, automotive and technology. I'm not fond of cars, sorry. At a certain point, my dad was hired by IBM in the 80s, and he's been working for IBM for 30 years. I've been working for IBM 1 year as well. But we thought we should have all worked for the government or big multinational companies, and we left behind our craftsman skills, you know. My wife is Lebanese. She came to Italy to study fashion and to learn how to do bags, also how to sew bags. We couldn't find a teacher, so we had to go to a 75-year-old man who used to do bags, to sew bags for Trussardi, for example, and Hermès. So, yeah, from knowledge, I think we can, from our roots and from our knowledge and from our diversity, we can create value for the future.
Muito obrigado. Passo a palavra ao Ramon Bozá Dias.
I'll give the floor to the Senator of Spain.
Dear Margarita, this is our second home because we are so often here in Lisbon as usual. Your hospitality is one of the key points of our this kind of meeting. I would like to congratulate Professor Novais about your speech, because not only about the continent, but it has been very didactic. And all these pictures and linking with the films, this made us all of us to think in special things every time you talk about very important things. I want at the same time to apologize because I had to get up sometimes because I had to solve some problems. I think it's the same as a lot of us. I want you to express some reflections and opinions. We have a very, in this committee, is a committee of economical, financial affairs, social affairs, and education. We have very big issues and important issues to debate and to speak about. But for me, the key point of this committee is the education issue, because if we have education in the main term of the war, more of these issues, economic, financial, socials, not had to be solved, but we see them in another point of view. I used to say that the knowledge, the main important thing of the knowledge, is to have the knowledge of the knowledge, because it's not only this world, it's what this world means. What I want to say, if we have an important key point about the education, we will see the social affairs, the financial one and the economic, in a different point of view. We wouldn't need to invest so many time to explain what in fact they are. And I think was what in our countries different, but with many, many common things, in fact, we have to talk about. Sometimes I used to say that education has been more than a world, and we are always spoken around the world about education. But I think we have to downstairs so many steps and arrive to the sensible, the sense of the education issue. I think we have a very good opportunity here to talk about this. And I would appreciate very, very much if it is possible that the speech and the pictures have shown us, Professor, would it be possible to compare it with all of us, because I think they have been very, very interesting. I've finished my college talk about Isaac Asimov. I want to remember now another film that is Space Odyssey. This is the image when it was filmed in, I think, Stanley Kubrick, yes, in 1968. And he thought about what the future should be. And we remember the field, we see the astronauts walking slowly in the galaxy. And later we see the monkeys in the Earth. So faster than the astronaut. This hasn't happened as he thought, but he has the image. I think we don't know what will happen in the future about what we were talking, but let's film one image between all of us. I think we'll be very close to arrive together. And finally, Professor, congratulations for the speech. It has been a pleasure to hear you and have another impression of what film and intervention is. Thank you very much.
Obrigada, Ramon.
Thank you, Ramon. I'll give the word to Mr. Ibrahimi.
Thank you. شكرا سيد الرئيس.
I would like to thank as well Dr. Paulo Weiss for his presentation, very good presentation, and thank the President to choose this topic because everything is the continues what we have discussed before. We speak about the same landmark. And I recognize, and I also have my worries about the countries of the South, and I would like to ask you a question. A question to Dr. Novais. What is our role here in the Assembly and in our committee to find and to produce in what we can do in our governments to end this gap between the North and the South, to stop this gap? And as my colleague from Tunisia said, Europe itself, in itself, and we have decisions of courts in favor of these countries against these multinationals, and now internationally, Europe has something that we don't have in the South. But these tools are not useful to all the countries in the same way. We have to work that as tools to have useful results for the country of the South. And another question, should we work together for the development of health and education and employability, and also we should save the wealth, the assets, and we shall also find the morality within this resolution. The question to the doctor, what are the limits of this correlation? What is related with the privacy of the people, the privacy of the information? Everything is made public, has been made public. We all have secrets, but now everything is revealed. There's not privacy. There's not much privacy. Should we build and find the limits? We hope that artificial intelligence should define, set up our limits. We have to go forward with this. And also the interests that we are going to use of this, not to fall on the trap. Thank you, Mr. President.
Obrigada. Eu não estava a ver o nome.
La Sherapa, I was looking for the name. This senator from Morocco. You have the floor. Thank you, President. I thank Dr. Paulo for your speech, a very important speech regarding artificial intelligence. In fact, this is a very important topic. It's the daily topic, but a question, but the risks of this topic, when I speak of risks, why do I speak of risks? Because the risks of the artificial intelligence will contribute to lose work. they will have a direct effect. On the gap between the north and the south. And this, furthermore, it will make the rich people richer and the poor people poorer. And we spoke about the gaps between the north and the south. This is a very deep gap and a deep problem. And in the parliaments, we work to stop, put a stop to this. It will create internationally a gap between countries, and it will participate in to increase the migrations that lately we speak about Marrakesh. So my question is, how can the assembly, parliamentary assembly, the Union for the Mediterranean, can find strong recommendations in this field, and also to use this in artificial intelligence in the cooperation and to solve our problems between the north and the south. Thank you.
Muito obrigada.
Thank you, and I give the floor to Turkey.
Thank you very much. Professor Paul, for giving us most important information. If you don't mind, I would like my speech, and then after say our idea about artificial distinguished colleagues, it is a pleasure for me to attend this important committee meeting today. I have the honor of informing you that I have recently taken up my duties as the new president of Turkish Parliamentary Assembly of Union of Mediterranean Delegation. I am very happy to part of this distinguished assembly. Taking this opportunity, let me briefly express Turkey's view regarding to regional cooperation and Euro-Mediterranean and summarize Turkey's contribution to this partnership. Turkey is a Mediterranean country with regard to its geographical position, historical and cultural heritage. Besides sharing one of the longest coasts with the Mediterranean, our religions with regional countries data back many countries and have a deep historical background. Given these realities, Turkey has been prominently contributing to Euro-Mediterranean partnership. Our membership to Union for the Mediterranean demonstrates the continued support that give to the partnership. We are living in troubled times. In addition to responding to current challenges and trends such as terrorism, migration, crisis, and youth unemployment, we believe that it is crucial to support the effort of southern Mediterranean countries for realization of sustainable development. Parliaments have joint responsibility to meet these challenges and find appropriate solutions to them in order to turn the Mediterranean region into a basin of peace and prosperity. How we manage to solve our problems today will also have profound effects on our future. Ladies and gentlemen, as a significant institution of parliamentary diplomacy of Parliamentary Assembly of Union of Mediterranean has been carrying out activities in a wide range of socio-cultural, political, economic spheres, playing a constructive role in enhancing the visibility and transparency of the Euro-Mediterranean partnership and bringing its work closer to enhance the expectation of the public. This year, we are celebrating the 10th anniversary of foundation of the Union of the Mediterranean. By serving as parliamentary aspect of Union of Mediterranean, we need to work for more than ever to provide the political power that the Union needs in these difficult times. It is essential that we need to establish a joint vision for Euro-Mediterranean, which includes the very fact that the region should be free of xenophobia, racism, Islamophobia, and economic instability. Turkey, as you know, will soon take over of the Assembly's Bureau Presidency for term of 2019-2020. I believe this will provide us another important opportunity to consolidate parliamentary diplomacy efforts between member states and provide a new momentum to our cooperation. In order to be successful in our endeavors, we need to ensure better communication, more coherence, and more effective cooperation at the national, regional, and global levels. Finally, we welcome the decision of establishment of a parliament secretariat, which we consider a great opportunity to further develop our inter-parliamentary dialogue in a more structured format. In this sense, I would like to emphasize that Turkey is ready to provide the Assembly every assistance needed. I would like to commend the Assembly and its committees for their contribution over the past years, and I express once again Turkish Grand National Assembly's strong commitment to work closely with you and with all other Union for Mediterranean bodies for better regional cooperation. Thank you for your attention. President, before we came here, we were in Strasbourg. Unfortunately, we have witnessed this accident, terrorist attack. 20 minutes after we passed this place, 20 minutes before, after this terrorist attack happened, we were together with my colleagues. We are very sadness about this. As you know, Turkey more than 40 years struggling of terrorism. So in our assembly, terrorism should be more, we were most close to struggle terrorism. It is very important. If we don't manage this, I am speaking very frankly, every day, all over the world, because of terrorist attack, innocent people were killing. We must be very careful about this, very important issue. In our country, in Iraq, in Syria, all over the world, innocent people is killing. Now, in the center of the Europe, in Strasbourg, so in the future, we must very close about this matter. Thank you very much for attention. Now, I would like to say our idea about this subject. In concept of the digitalization in industry refers to intelligent machines that can be communicate with each other or with other system around it. With the development in communication system, autonomous system and application will benefit both in production process and daily life. Artificial intelligence technology allows the analysis, filtering, interpretation of large amounts of data from many and different types of sources and suggestion to optimum action. With this feature, artificial intelligence application and solution will have an extremely important role in the new industrial revolution in next 10 years. With digitalization in manufacturing, 20 to 40 reduction in cost of inventory, 15-30 increase in labor productivity, 30-50 reduction in machine downtimes, 85% increase in foresight accuracy, 10 to 30 reduction percent reduction in product design engineering cost, 10 to 20% reduction in quality development cost, flexibility in the meeting the rapidity, rapidly changing and diversified demands and customers, higher marketing speed, more effective integration with the supply chain expected. Especially in the Central Europe, the technical contribution to SMEs with the digital invitation hubs is very remarkable. And this model can be modeled provided that funding power is also increased. In this context, it is on the agenda that first practical SME productivity training center called Model Factory opened in Ankara this December may be constructed with such a mission as a digital invention hubs. Therefore, cooperation between Union for Mediterranean and European Innovation Hubs should be enhanced. In addition to this, simple digital solution package should be developed and disseminated for SMEs, for corporate companies on digitalization, open innovation platform should be created. One of the main obstacles for digital transformation, including the digitalization capacity of SMEs, is the low level of technology literacy. In this context, as in Great Ecole du Numérique model in France, developed and employment program should be established to define next area of competence required by digitalization and to train workforce in this direction. The expansion of digital transformation such as robotics and other platforms operating in European Union member countries in the field of big data, the Internet of Things, cloud technology to cover Union for Mediterranean member countries will make significant contributions. The fact that the actors in European industry shifted their investments to the Far East, regarded as a cheap labor, has made China with the US as one of the rival countries in the process of the digitalization for the European Union. In this context of free market condition, direct foreign investment to the countries on the European Union and Union for the Mediterranean side will accelerate the total transformation of ecosystem of production in Mediterranean environment. In this sense, both with geographic location and with production infrastructure, Turkey should be considered as one of the most important options in this region in the terms of direct investment. The future industry will be based on physical and technical, legal and administrative infrastructure. In this context, cooperation and information exchange mechanism should be established among Union for Mediterranean member countries in order to quickly ensure the infrastructure requirements in all three areas. To develop key digital technology and integrate them into the future production ecosystem, research and innovation activity should be carried out with public university industry cooperation. It is important to increase cooperation and share good practice in the field of public university industry collaboration among Union for Mediterranean countries. It is considered that it will be useful to establish knowledge and good practice mechanism and labor exchange program among the member countries of Union for Mediterranean in order to eliminate this possible negative effects of digitalization, unemployment, and generate high qualified human resources. Thank you very much for your attention.
Eu é que agradeço e passo então ao.
I'd like to give the floor to the MP for Marrocos, Morocco, Raki Sabai.
شكرا سيدة الرئيسة المحترمة.
Thank you very much. Members of the committee, President, members of the committee, I would like to thank you for the very warm welcome. I'd also like to thank you, Paulo, for your excellent presentation. There are many positive things in modern technology, but I'm not going to repeat what my colleagues have already said. But after these suggestions, that we had, I would like to say that technology is really not involved in matters related to humans, because technology have many positive things in the lives of people. But our suggestions within the committee in the future will be to talk about the experiences of countries involved in democracy culture, democratic culture, and find a joint view of free market for the Mediterranean, an exchange of experiences in terms of taxation, investment, and also to find a single basis for employment of youth, and to talk about budgets and to general policies, economic cooperation in the Mediterranean basin. These are suggestions that we would like you to look at with attention, because we could do this in the meetings ahead. And thank you. I would like to thank the lady from Tunisia, who spoke about the educational points of education. There are problems, so there are shortcomings, but there are positive things. And with this occasion, I'd like to thank our government for its for drawing up a budget, drafting a budget this year, because it gave great importance in the budget to health and education, and these are positive aspects, and we want to incorporate. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado. No, eu que...
Thank you very much. I would like to thank you, and I'd like to give the floor to the MP MN from Algeria. Thank you very much. Once again, I'd like to thank you and my colleagues. And I hope that our assembly will be a huge success. And I'd like to say that we have had many important meetings under your presidency. We've seen fight against terrorism, financing, bailouts, and education is the basis. And I'm really concerned about education. This is an overall solution of all other areas. Our committee, social affairs and education, we should remember our experience in Algeria against these bailouts and consider them as a crisis. And the finance of terrorism should be considered a crime. We're living in a very dark area and we're suffering a lot. But it's with intelligence and knowledge and social development and to find a political leadership and in that way we can move forward. We want to, in all areas, we want to export peace to other countries, especially the Mediterranean basin, which recently we have seen it is carrying out activities and so hopefully we can get together because we have many common standards. We can see in our assembly and our assembly is a little bit slow in the social and economic area, and so we would like to put an end to this gap between the north and the south. And recently we've seen organized crime, migration, and so we have to work together. We should see human beings as a core element because we have education, health should always be person-centered. We have our recommendations and we work for this and we work on important topics. And which must have a practical effect, and we have to have important recommendations resulting from these meetings, which should result in something practical so people can make their dreams come true. And thank you very much, President and Vice President, and in the next meeting we will have more recommendations and results, and positive results. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado a todos. Nós iríamos, eu não sei se o professor Paulo Novaes quer dizer algumas palavras, enfim, muito curtas, não tem que responder naturalmente, porque as questões são difíceis e são questões de nós todos, mas se quiser dizer umas palavras, e depois eu própria também diria algumas palavras sobre o assunto. Tá bem. Já agora, ainda, digamos, intervindo como, não como presidente, eu devo-vos dizer que estou no Parlamento há 3 anos e que das experiências que tive aqui no Parlamento, no âmbito da Assembleia Parlamentar da União para o Mediterrâneo e no âmbito de uma visita parlamentar a um outro Estado-membro, no caso a Alemanha, há duas experiências que me tocaram profundamente e que têm um pouco a ver com aquilo que estamos a tratar. Uma foi uma visita que fiz a Marrocos no âmbito da Assembleia Parlamentar para ver o projeto que é a Universidade Mediterrânea de Euromediterrânea. E onde verdadeiramente eu, que conheço muitas universidades no mundo, porque sou professora universitária e portanto tinha uma vida antes do Parlamento que era passava pelas universidades, fiquei verdadeiramente impressionada com o projeto. E isto um pouco, quando falamos das diferenças, e que são bem claras, norte-sul, centro-periferia, mas de facto a Universidade Euromediterrânica é um bom exemplo de como é possível ultrapassar gaps, ultrapassar desfazamentos brutais, e aquilo que me impressionou, confesso, foi ver no âmbito da impressão 3D, que é do mais avançado em termos de robótica, algo que eu nunca tinha visto tantas em tão pouco espaço, e portanto marcou-me como de facto o Marrocos, juntamente com o projeto da UPM, tinha um exemplo de como é possível de facto ultrapassar muitos degraus e fazer uma universidade no topo, concretamente, da 3D. Este é um exemplo que não me esqueço nunca. O outro exemplo tem a ver com a oportunidade que eu tive. Eu já fui a 2 campos de refugiados, um na Grécia e outro na Alemanha, em condições bastante diferentes. Mas aquilo que verdadeiramente me impressionou, e na Alemanha era, enfim, no fundo era um antigo aeroporto que foi transformado em campo de refugiados, e portanto onde estavam já 2 anos depois ainda permaneciam muitos refugiados. Na Grécia era uma situação um bocadinho diferente. Aquilo que me impressionou foi que havia um ponto de ligação entre aquelas pessoas, e era a tecnologia. Porque, de facto, as dificuldades eram muitas, de integração, as pessoas estavam, muitas delas, enfim, a maioria sem trabalho, mas quase todos tinham um telemóvel que os colocava em contacto com casa, com... E, portanto, a ideia com que eu, na Grécia também, embora de uma forma diferente, porque foi numa fase em que ainda, enquanto que na Alemanha já estavam há um ano e meio, na Grécia estavam recém-chegados, com problemas muito mais prementes. Mas o que eu quero dizer é que aquelas pessoas, aquilo que as fazia seguras era terem o acesso pela tecnologia às suas ligações, aos seus laços. E também, quero eu crer, que era certamente por aí a melhor maneira que nós teríamos de lhes chegar para lhes oferecer emprego, para lhes oferecer ajuda, embora provavelmente nós não víssemos a tecnologia assim. E eu só queria dar nota destas duas experiências porque, de facto, foram muito importantes, uma mais do ponto de vista humano, a outra do ponto de vista do desafio de ultrapassar barreiras, e que eu não posso deixar de partilhar aqui porque me parece que é importante, no sentido que muitas vezes, e eu depois farei obviamente a questão das infraestruturas, que é muito importante, mas de facto eu diria que há aqui pontos em que as infraestruturas às vezes são algo tão simples como o telemóvel para dar, por exemplo, o apoio a alguém. Enfim, isto é muito complexo. Eu passo agora a palavra ao professor Paulo Novaes.
Obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Em primeiro lugar, agradecer as palavras que me foram dirigidas. É sempre uma honra ouvir de palavras elogiosas de pessoas como os senhores. Hoje falou-se aqui muito do Isaac Asimov e lembrei-me de uma expressão dele que é muito conhecida, que é: se o conhecimento pode criar problemas, e nós sabemos que pode, e não vale a pena também negá-lo, mas a verdade é que a ignorância nunca resolveu nenhum, nem ajudou a solucioná-los. Essa é a primeira nota. Depois, duas, três notas que valem o que valem, mas são a minha experiência. Esta semana, passei a semana toda em Cambridge, em Inglaterra, num evento sobre inteligência artificial. Quem ganhou o melhor prémio da melhor apresentação não foi o Paulo Novaes, foi uma brilhante cientista mulher da Arábia Saudita. Quem ganhou o segundo prémio para Technical Paper foi um brilhante cientista jovem da Índia. Na audiência estavam lá alguns estudantes de doutoramento africanos, em particular angolanos, curiosamente, quer dizer, porque eram fácil para mim comunicar com eles, como sabem, falam português. Eu acho que às vezes nos esquecemos que o mundo de facto está a mudar, e que duas coisas: a ciência é algo que é fácil de transmitir se a quisermos adquirir, de que as tecnologias que hoje falamos não têm que ser necessariamente um fio de telefone de cobre em todos os sítios, mas pode ser de facto um telemóvel, e hoje com telemóveis e com gadgets como estes fazem-se milagres. Recordo-me sempre com muito agrado que há uns anos atrás eu estive muito perto, em Angola, muito perto do rio Zaire, e nesse dia recebi um e-mail pelo meu telemóvel. Eu julguei que isso era impossível. Por isso, eu acho que as barreiras estão-se a esbater. Acho que devemos é perceber uma coisa. O futuro, a riqueza número um de um país será o seu conhecimento. Mas o conhecimento, para ter valor, não pode ser como a Coca-Cola e como os hambúrgueres. Isto é, não podemos normalizá-lo também ele. Isto é, não poderemos todos comer a mesma, beber a mesma Coca-Cola ou os mesmos hambúrgueres, seja o que for. O que o vai tornar e que lhe vai dar o valor vai ser, de facto, o elemento cultural que ele terá. Aquilo que faz ele ser útil para os colegas da Algéria, para os colegas da Bulgária, para nós, para Marrocos, Turquia, etc. E isso é importante. Por isso, uma terceira nota: no próximo ano, em Marrocos, irá haver uma conferência sobre Intelligent Environments. Agora não me recordo a cidade, peço desculpa, mas sei que é em Marrocos. E é também uma boa oportunidade para o país integrar-se nessa comunidade. Mas se vai ser em Marrocos, não é porque Marrocos e a cidade onde vai ser é de certeza uma cidade bela e fantástica, mas é também porque localmente já há competências. Há também pessoas em Marrocos que falam e que se preocupam com esse conhecimento. E é isso, em primeiro lugar, que eu vos queria dizer. E eu apostaria, se eu tivesse essa capacidade, essa varinha, apostaria no conhecimento e não teria medo do conhecimento, porque o conhecimento gera valor, gera outro conhecimento e é o petróleo dos próximos séculos. Mas é um conhecimento, volto a dizer, que para não correr o risco de ser igual para todos, e aí sim, de facto, não será fácil continuar e provavelmente até irão aumentar as distâncias entre o norte, o sul, o centro, a periferia, mas terá que ser um conhecimento que também ele tenha em conta as especificidades de cada povo e que faça com que, por exemplo, em Marrocos, se calhar seja mais adequado beber um chá dos fantásticos que vocês têm lá. Em Espanha, outro tipo de bebida que os meus irmãos na Península Ibérica nos têm para nos oferecer. E acredito, francamente, que isso é que é o nosso caminho. Uma nota final, peço desculpa, Sr. Presidente. Agradecer-vos. Não é todos os dias que tenho a capacidade, tenho a felicidade de aprender. Hoje aprendi muito. Obrigado.
Muito obrigada.
Thank you very much. So I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you said. Because I do recognize that this topic is not an easy topic. It's here and it's in the future. So the way the presentations and the way you addressed these presentations were so cross-cutting. And we know that cultures are different, but I would just like to thank you all for the wonderful way you did it. And I mean this sincerely. I would like to say, I took some notes. I want to try and sum up things, because that's not what we want. But in terms of the recommendations, I think that here there are a number of key ideas that within the scope of this meeting are recurrent and should be set out. And here I specifically am talking about the suggestions that we received today. I'm not going to name all the countries, etc. No, Spain, Turkey, Bulgaria, Italy, Tunisia, obviously. And I'm not going to say who, but here there are two ideas. One of them was the importance of topics like the importance of refugees and migrants, the question of migrations, and the importance that they have in the Mediterranean, and how we have to look at them. And so then we have the question of terrorism, which is very important in the preceding presidency. Turkish presidency, where the fight against terrorism was a great concern. Another issue which is fundamental and was mentioned by many was education. So education is more important than words, and it has the ability to bring about change, which has got to do with knowledge, better attitudes and behaviours in terms of peace, which is our ultimate objective, and that is the development and peace in the Euro-Mediterranean space. And so I would say that these are some of the aspects which are recurrent and always have to be present in regardless of technologies. Of course, technologies help. From everything we heard, I think that there's a very important issue was the idea that our parliaments should find ways to take advantage of artificial intelligence and new technologies, which are always tools. They're not ends in themselves, but they should be used to preserve human beings, preserve human beings and to the benefit of peace. And everything that has been said, this idea that was very strong, that Euro-Mediterranean policies should put an end to the differences between the north and the south, between the centre and the periphery. And so technology should also we should create a technology in order to bridge the gaps more and more quickly. Now, for example, I gave you that example of the university because, as I said, I'd been to many universities, and what I saw so many, quite often we talk about many different things and we don't focus on important aspects. Another very important issue that was raised here, that was the question of infrastructures, the importance of infrastructures and how we cannot disregard them when we want to pursue policies that will allow us to place technology to the benefit of people. And so approaches from a technological point of view, with the question of green economy that was raised, and green employment, is a very important question too. Now what I think that should be underscored is that knowledge is differentiating. So the Euro-Mediterranean areas want to use policies of knowledge that bring regions closer together, that attenuate extremes, and in a space, for example, in a place where nobody thinks alone and nobody can be successful alone, and our parliaments have this obligation to, and that is what we're doing today, together enhance action for peace and to enhance the value of people in our space. I will be very brief. No recommendations were asked, and we're not going to have another meeting for this, but I'm going to try and list 4 or 5 recommendations, taking advantage of what we already have and what I've just said, and then I will send you them by email, and I would like to ask you to give your feedback, and if you don't say anything, and then I will presume it's all fine, and then in January I'll be able to send you the final version because if I send it just before the meeting, it may not be taken into account. If you agree, then we shall draw up recommendations, maximum 5, no more than 6 recommendations, and so given, I don't know if the other committees are going to do this, but I would like to thank you very much, and I think that we can now move on to the following phase. I would like to thank Professor Palter as well. And the next phase is... So what are we going to do now? We're going to show you a little bit of the palace. It's a beautiful palace. And then we again then take a... We're going to have a family picture on the stairway outside, just outside the room. And then we'll go around the building. Then we'll have lunch. I think some of you have already been here before, but we'll go to a building that's a new building that's also attached to this one, where there's a restaurant. And then following this, we shall visit the National Tiles Museum, and then we'll have a social event where you are obviously all invited with your partners. I'm going to apologize because I will be with you. I'm not from Lisbon, I'm from Coimbra. And that is why the University of Coimbra, there's a competition between our universities. But in fact, I have an official parliamentary event in Coimbra, which I can't miss, which is sometime in the afternoon, which means I probably will be with you up to the National Tiles Museum, but I won't go on the visit. It's not for any lack of consideration, it's because it's totally impossible. I need 2.5 hours to get to Coimbra, and I can't be teletransported. No. It'd be lovely to be free from here to Coimbra in seconds. We haven't reached that yet. So... we'll have a very good afternoon together. And once again, my sincere thanks for the way, very direct and open way we addressed this topic and we had this meeting. Thank you very much.
Não. Bak. Mm-hmm.